11 o'clock, Monday, July the 6th, three-man front. Cole Kubik and Aaron Suttles with you. Lambsman's back next week. A lot to get to. We've talked a lot about the PGA. I don't know if I ever thought we'd spend that much time on the PGA, but we found a way to do it today. And if you're thinking about time that you've spent, maybe you should think about volunteer hours spent in Alabama communities. Bryant Bank is your hometown bank with big bank benefits, including banking solutions like instant issue debit cards, mobile check deposit. You can check all those out now at bryantbank.com, member FDIC. The ESPN 300 rankings have been updated today. We anticipated a change, and you anticipate a big change with Alabama and where they were to where they are now after a couple of good weeks, including a big get a week ago with an outside linebacker, Dallas Turner, from South Florida. Craig Harbert is the national recruiting coordinator for ESPN. You can check out those ESPN 300 rankings at ESPN.com now. So, Craig, I'll ask you, I spoke to you a week ago, and you told me that today those rankings would be updated. What kind of a jump are we looking at for the Crimson Tide in the new ESPN 300 rankings?
Yeah, Alabama off the heels, as you mentioned, Cole, of Dallas Turner, the five-star edge defender, committing. They jumped up five spots. They're sitting at number 13 now in the country with only 10 commits at this point. So you look at an Alabama class, there's still a lot of room for them to add to this class and move up. So, I mean, just with just barely hitting into the double digits, they're already just sitting outside the top 10. So, you know, there's a lot to be said for quality sometimes over quantity. So they may not be in the top 10. I know a lot of Alabama fans are used to Alabama kind of being a fixture in the top three. But when you look at where they're at with just the numbers they have, it's a small but impressive class.
Craig, I know this is impossible to answer because so much of what we deem normal in college football is anything but right now. So we don't know when on-campus visits are going to start. We don't know when the recruiting dead period is really going to end. But how do you think this all affects what we've come to know as recruiting? Will the early signing day still be as important? Will the NCAA sort of suspend that? What if there are no on-campus visits at all this fall? How do you think this all affects recruiting as we know it?
You know, I think it's a great question, and you're right, it is kind of impossible to answer just because everything from March, every day you think you have something figured out, the next day everything kind of changes. So, and that's no different in recruiting. You know, I think we're seeing the first real obstacle for programs is, okay, so we lost spring official visits, but that's what memory serves me right, this is maybe the second cycle, third cycle with spring official visits. So that was something newer. But, you know, what's really hurting programs right now is with the dead period, there's no camps. And, you know, I think this was a big opportunity for a lot of programs. We're just talking about Alabama. You know, you can look on social media and you could see offers being thrown out, but, you know, those offers are only as good as the paper they're printed on. You know, I think Alabama is one program, like many, that really wanted to, hey, you got an offer, but we need to see you on campus first. We need to be able to measure you and be around you. And now those opportunities are lost. So I think that's really a big hurdle for programs right now is there. You can sit and you can watch film and you can assess how athletic a player is. But, you know, to be able to get those opportunities to be around them, I think that's the first one we're really seeing this summer. And then once we get to the fall, you know, the hope is that, you know, there will be college football and there will be opportunities for players to get back on campus and take some official visits. But whether there's an early signing period or, as you mentioned, this is something I had said before as well, Aaron, is that, hey, maybe we do away with the early signing period just for this year and go back to traditional first Wednesday in February just to give everybody a little bit more time, even though classes are filling up a lot of them. I think we're going to see a pretty wild fall potentially where guys are and programs start to look at their classes and start to move things around. So while we've seen an uptick in commitments, I think in the fall we could see an uptick in decommitments as well, which could lead to a lot of change over the next 6 months. And basically because nobody really knows what tomorrow holds and everybody's kind of adjusting on the fly.
Craig Harbert covers recruiting for ESPN. You follow him on Twitter @CraigHarbert. Find the ESPN updated class rankings for this 2021 class. And another mover is North Carolina. A lot of people were surprised by Tony Grimes and his commitment. The five-star corner announced that he was going to be a Tar Heel, and we knew that was going to give them a bump. But now number two in the ESPN 300 rankings. And I think when you sort of project down the road and you see maybe a defensive tackle like Peyton Page could be soon announcing that he's going to end up at North Carolina, four-star defensive lineman. What's the reality of Mack Brown potentially having a number one recruiting class?
I think the first hurdle for them potentially having a number one recruiting class is the team at number one, and that's Ohio State. Ohio State's class is outstanding. I mean, I hate talking about greatest of all time classes because, and I'm sure the schools themselves hate it because it puts a lot of pressure on them to for those classes to kind of pan out. But you're looking at an Ohio State class with 18 commits and 16 in the ESPN 300. So I think Ohio State at this point is going to be difficult to catch, even with still 6 months to go, but we will still see. So even if they're not number one, if you're looking at what Mack Brown and that staff are doing to have a North Carolina class now sitting at number two, and you know, you and I had talked about this last week, Cole. I mean, North Carolina, you can kind of argue, is a bit of a sleeping giant. I mean, if you get a chance to get players on campus, it's a beautiful campus. They've had success before the kind of wheels fell off the bus on Larry Fedora there. I mean, he had, when he first got there, he had North Carolina recruiting very well, not to this level. But then you put kind of somebody with the history and the personality of a Mack Brown in that situation, and now you're talking about a class that is doing great, and most importantly, doing great within state. Tony Grimes, a five-star corner, is the first ESPN 300 prospect in this class committed to North Carolina. That is not from the state of North Carolina. Now, he's not far away from the Virginia Beach area, but, you know, my philosophy is good recruiting starts at home. And of their 12 ESPN 300 commits, 11 of them are from in-state. And I think if you really kind of want to combat potentially classes falling apart and losing decommitments, I think that's less likely to happen when you have a core that is from a, you know, a few hour range of your base, because those are a lot of times players that grew up rooting for your program. It's easier for them even unofficially to get on campus. So I think if you're going to really kind of put together a strong class and potentially hold it together, to have its entire base almost be just from a few hour drive of your campus, I mean, I think you're really going to find great success. I mean, that's an outstanding foundation.
Craig, looking closer at Alabama's class, I know there's no such thing as a surefire star at the next level. A lot of this is projection, but there are surer things than others when you guys do these projections. Who is the, in your opinion, most surefire guy that Alabama fans need to be aware of when they come to campus next year to make an impact?
You talk about from the 2020 class or 2021?
2021.
Oh, yeah. I think you got to start at the top with J.C. Latham. I know he's the top guy in the class. He's a five-star. But he is a player. He reminds me a lot of Jedrick Wills, who's just a monster player, but, I mean, freakishly agile for how big they are. I mean, J.C. Latham was a guy who, as a sophomore, was on the defensive side of the ball, looked at himself as a defensive tackle, and it was just like, there's such a high ceiling on the offensive side of the ball. And I think sometimes prospects in high school don't want to buy into where maybe their better fit is, especially if it's moving from a position where you can get a little bit of a glory with sacks and things like that to the offensive line, where you may work in a little bit more of anonymity. But J.C. Latham, to his credit, has bought into being an offensive lineman. And as a result, he has skyrocketed up the rankings from being in the hundreds at one point to now being one of the top 10 players in the country, the number two ranked offensive tackle. He's got tremendous size, but he carries it really well. He's flexible. He's a knee bender. He's got really good feet, and he's a competitor as well. I think one of the things that scares you sometimes with guys who are highly ranked is you wonder, do they feel like they've got it all figured out? Because as good as some of these high school players are, I've never seen a high school prospect who is a complete player. There's still a lot to learn and a lot to get better at once you get in college. And are they willing to understand that? And I think when I look at J.C. Latham, who's at IMG, so every day in practice he's facing good competition. For the most part, he's going to face really good competition on the field on Friday nights as IMG travels around the country to play programs. And when I saw him in action at the Orlando Under Armour camp this past March, right before things got shut down. He took as many reps as he could, and he went against guys, some of the other top guys. It was never about going against a defensive end who was 5'11", 210. I mean, he wanted to see the other guys who were 4 stars and 5 stars there, and he constantly challenged himself, and he won some and he lost some, but he constantly got up there, and I'd love to see that from highly ranked guys that just want to compete and want to get better. And I think J.C. Latham kind of checks all those boxes. So I think he's a potential plug-and-play guy and a potential down the road for another first-rounder amongst that offensive line group.
Talking recruiting with Craig Hulbert of ESPN. There was a lot of discussion about this Tennessee class that they wouldn't be able to hold on to, say, a top five, maybe even a top 10 class, because they just had the numbers that no one else had yet. And by the time everything sort of worked itself out, that Tennessee would fall because some of the regular cast of characters, like Alabama, like Georgia, like Oklahoma, would skyrocket above the Volunteers because they wouldn't be able to add any extra numbers or many numbers to the class that they already had in place. With 23 commits in for Jeremy Pruitt, what's the likelihood of this staying as a top five, maybe top 10 class?
I think top five will be interesting, but I think top 10 for sure. I mean, listen, I think they need to be able to kind of, we talked about some of those out-of-state prospects. You look at a guy right at the top, the five-star Terrence Lewis out of South Florida. You know, that's kind of a big fish to keep on the line from a little bit out of the way. But, you know, most of these guys are within that recruiting base, North Carolina, Georgia, Alabama. They've had some great success recently at St. Francis Academy in Baltimore. You know, started last year with Dominic Bailey at the defensive tackle they signed. Now they've got two in this class out of that group. So I think a top 10 class is very much in the mix because I think they've got to be able to keep this class together. When you're sitting at number three, that should be your main goal with 23 commitments. Is we've got a class that's considered top five in the country. Let's keep this together. But they're far from done as well. I mean, Tennessee is still very much in the mix for guys like Demarius McGee, a four-star athlete, Christian Zachary, an edge defender. I mean, Tennessee was his first SEC offer. And I think this is, you know, there's two things there, Cole. I think one is Tennessee has had great struggles on the field in having success and finding consistency. But when you look at Tennessee, I think one of the things that frustrates fans is they've had a great history on the football field. So this should be a program that you could very well argue should be recruiting more consistently at a high level. And you could make the argument should be more of a top five, top 10 recruiting program. I think maybe Jeremy Pruitt's starting to find that footing there and coming in. He's done a great job. One thing I really like about this Tennessee staff is if you follow recruiting, a lot of times there can be kind of a sheep mentality where a lot of schools will be afraid to be the first out on a guy, the first to offer a guy. Sometimes you'll see a guy pick up an offer, then all of a sudden he'll get a lot. And a lot of programs will be hesitant to be that first one. I think one thing that Pruitt and his staff haven't been afraid to do is be the first in on a guy. And that doesn't always pay off, but I think sometimes it does when a prospect feels like, you know what, Tennessee was there when nobody else was, and then the offer list grows. But I also think you have to have a lot of faith in your evaluation process and your staff to be like, you know what, nobody else is offering this guy, but we're going to be the first in it. So I think they have the blueprint to continue success and to put together a top 10 class because they've done a really good job of identifying guys, and they've been able to get to this point through all this because a lot of those guys they've had on campus already. Before everything got shut down, they had some pretty significant junior day weekends where a lot of these guys in this class, before they committed, got on. So I think they were able to build up enough of a comfort level to make those guys, even through all this, and not be able to get on campus for spring official visits to feel comfortable enough to join this Tennessee class. So to be honest with you, we'll see what happens over the next 6 months. I'd be surprised if Tennessee's class fell out of the top 10.
Craig, a guy that we know around here, Mario Cristobal, an elite recruiter. You guys have that class right now with 16 commitments at number five. Is he the best recruiter in the Pac-12?
Oh, in the Pac-12, as a head coach, without a doubt. I had one other Pac-12 assistant in a recruiting department say that he's different. Like, you are endangered of being outworked by Mario Cristobal. Like he's a machine. He's an outstanding recruiter. You're right. He's been all over this country and just kind of started there with Chip Kelly, where Oregon really kind of had a national appeal, and he's kind of really taken that to another level. So Oregon at one point, if you remember, guys, is really kind of more known for the uniform combinations and those type of things, and that grew a lot of interest. But They're so much more than that. They've been able to put a product on the field to stay in a national championship conversation, to be the right now the top program in the Pac-12. So you put success on the field with some of those other things that entice players early on, and then you put somebody like Mario Cristobal, who's an outstanding recruiter, I mean, one of the elite recruiters amongst head coaches in all of college football, not just the Pac-12. You're starting to see the success that they are having and throughout the country. I mean, they are in a position right now for the second class in a row to sign a four-star prospect out of Mississippi. You know, I mean, when you think about Ohio, Oregon having a presence in Mississippi, but now potentially 2 years in a row they're going to sign a player out of Mississippi this year in Isaiah Brevard, a top 10 wide receiver.
Craig, thank you so much for the time. Very interesting time to follow recruiting, what it is, what it has been, and maybe what it's going to be for the next 4 or 5 months. But your insight is always valuable. We appreciate it. Look forward to catching up with you again soon.
Thanks for having me on, guys. Always enjoy it. Take care.
That's Craig Halbert, National Recruiting Coordinator for ESPN. You can check out the updated class rankings at ESPN.com. Now, as he mentioned, Alabama makes a big leap up 5 spots to number 13. Georgia just behind them at 14. Auburn down at 21. According to ESPN, your number one class in the SEC right now will be Tennessee. They come in at third, and LSU jumps 5 spots as well to the number 6 class in the country, followed by Florida at 7. So that's where some of those SEC schools land. When we come back, hot and cold of the weekend presented by Train. And with that, I will ask you this. Could 2020 get any worse? I'll answer it next on Three Man Front.